I'm at a stage where I'm throwing up quite a bit.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Did this happen to you?
No, I threw up this morning, though.
Did you?
Yeah. I think it was like the start of, because I don't know why, it was just a little bit.
Right.
And I'd eaten, and it wasn't all my food. It was just like a little bit of, like, you know, something. I know. Hi.
Charlie's got mumps.
Oh no, don't, because I feel like it's worse when I smile. I can feel like I'm tight, I feel swollen.
I'll ask Hannah what it is, because I reckon it's that, but you do need to go to hospital.
I'm not going to hospital.
If you start to feel like you can't really breathe, you need to go to hospital.
I'll go then.
Right.
If I can't breathe. No, just, do you know what? I'd probably like, take me. It's my time. Fucking, that's it.
Oh, please not, because I need your help.
With what? The bibby.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to start.
Right.
This isn't even, we've not even introed.
Hi, welcome back. Welcome back to Two Girls on the World. I'm Vic.
I'm Charlie.
I've
got a massive head.
Charlie's got like mumps or something.
No, we don't know what I've got. Vic's saying mumps, but
well,
it's come
you've
on.
You've got no tonsils, so it's not tonsillitis.
It's come on very quick. I'm suddenly very swollen round my throat. I feel like absolute shit. Like, I've got, Vic said, what if I got a chin neck? Yeah. Like, my head is just going into my neck and it's sore around there to touch. It even hurts a bit to smile. And I'm like, no, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I told you, didn't I? I'm fuming.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been ill since September and that's so not me.
Yeah.
But I think that's because I have a toddler.
Yeah.
So pre-Richie, like, I would just never be ill.
Yeah, but it's not even like your toddler goes to nursery, so it's not like he's bringing illnesses.
He does lick stuff at the park.
Right.
And we go to the park most days.
Right.
I'm guessing.
Okay.
I'm guessing that's where he got hand, foot, and mouth, which was fucking horrific. It's either me or him.
Yeah, just
going
back
and
forth.
Ready to just like stop everything, stop the world for like, I don't know, a week and just be in bed.
Mm.
That's what I need.
Yeah, I
but
think.
But I'm
you
never
do.
Gonna get it.
You're not?
No, but I'm never gonna get this. Yeah, I'm never going to get it.
Oh, woe is you.
Yeah, woe is me. And this is our episode where it's like me talking about a shite time. And it's, people are probably going to think, oh, this is such a sad episode. But it's because I'm just feeling sorry for myself because my head's massive.
Well, you're setting the tone for the episode.
Yeah, yeah. Buckling for a depressive episode.
Maybe before we start, we'll just put out a trigger warning.
Yeah, do it now.
So this episode is about miscarriage. So if you're likely to be affected by this topic, then you might want to skip and come back to the next episode.
Protect yourself.
Yeah, we will pop some resources and stuff at the bottom too, if anyone needs any extra help and you do decide to listen to it. But yeah, away we go.
I've just done you. I've just burped twice. I think I concealed it well though.
Right, before we get into talking about miscarriage, what have you been up to?
That wedding in Ireland was really good.
Oh yeah.
That was good.
I don't like that you don't do much on social media because I want to see.
I know, sorry, you messaged me for like, send me pics of you. I was like, I don't have one. I might have one now, actually, but I think when you messaged me, I didn't. I was like, I don't have one of me yet.
Was it nice to have some?
And like, I know I'm only 5 years older than you, and I'm not, I will have photos of myself, but especially like all Rick's Irish family, which is who it is. We do have photos, but it's not that type of, you know, everyone's just like happy to see each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like let's get a photo for Instagram type thing.
Yeah.
It's more, we might get one for the memories, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I don't think it's an age thing, though. I think that's just
just a me thing.
Yeah.
Right, okay. But like, I would feel like, I think me and Rick did get a photo, but like, I don't feel like going, oh, will you get a photo of me?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah,
in my outfit.
Yeah, but that's not, you would never do that, ever.
No.
Ever?
No.
So you went without Richie, was it nice? Was it just dead nice to have just you and Rick time?
Yeah, we had a really good time. Aww. It was good because we stayed two nights. It was just really good. We played, you've really got me into Monopoly Deal. And so I brought it because it's only me and Rick that have ever played.
Yeah.
And you've like a wit into it. But we've never played with more than two people. But I had a feel, I'm just good at this stuff because I was like to Rick, I'm bringing Monopoly because we hardly had any luggage. And in my little crossover bag for the plane that was tiny, he was like, you've brought Monopoly Deal. And I was like, yeah, like we might have time, you know, to play it. And I was like, and I bet the cousins are like, he was like, when are we gonna be sat playing that? And I was like, I don't know. But anyway, what first night when we get there, that isn't the wedding, the night before the wedding. And I was saying, like, have you ever played it? And they fucking love it.
Oh.
They play it all the time. And I was like, I've brought it. And they're like, we have. And I was like, looking at Rick, like, I fucking told you. Because that was the night we were all just in the hotel together. There was loads of kids, so I did feel bad. I knew it was a kid-heavy wedding.
Yeah.
There was, like, 40 adults, 20 kids.
Did you feel bad not taking Rick?
Yeah, and that I felt... Like, my mum suggested it. Rick's mum also said... Because I really wanted him to meet all his... Mm. He's met them, but they don't see each other, like, often at all. And one of them is, like, only, like, 2 months older than him. Yeah, so, like, a boy. Aww. Yeah, and I just, like, wanted that for him. But also, yeah, like, seeing other people's kids does, like, me and Rick were both, like, there's no way Richie would just be sat there right now. Like,
yeah.
We do have a very different, like, parenting life than what we...
I was going to say a different child.
We do. No, because you're watching, like, you know, I know he was 2 months older, though, and maybe a lot can happen in those 2 months at this stage of life.
Mm.
But, like, yeah, and he's great, and he's running around, like, you know, but just not, like, Rich, he's really wild in those scenarios.
Yeah. So it was best. Right.
But I did have guilt. I did have guilt because the wedding had like childminders and everything.
Really?
Yeah, but it was more activities for the older ones.
Okay.
Like we couldn't have left Richie with them, too young.
Yeah, they'd be like, have him back.
Yeah.
He just wants this.
But like all different colouring and like they'd asked like what is he into before we said we're not going to bring him. And right, do you know what I mean? Like it could have been really, really good. So I did have guilt about not bringing him. But yeah.
But did he have a nice time here?
Yeah, slept great.
Of course he did.
Little prick. He is. He's a little prick. Rick sometimes just look at each other and be like, little prick. Like behind his back. And just like, oh my God. Yeah.
Aw.
I mean, he's cute. He's funny. But yeah. He's testing. He's testing everything. It's really cute, actually. He, I don't know if other people experience this, but Rick started saying, like, no to him when he's doing something, like, you know, putting himself in danger, and he gets really upset and sobs.
Oh.
But it's actually quite cute to see he doesn't give a shit if I say no.
Really?
I can do my firmest thing. I can, like, be like, Richie, no, don't do that. Like, you know, he's... Like I told you before, like climbing the banister, he could throw himself off the stairs. Mm. And I'm like, no. And he just like either ignores me or like smiles and carries on. But if Rick, my dad or Rick's dad say no, he gets really upset. When me, my mum and Rick's mum say no, he doesn't care. And I'm like, oh, you are a little prick.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You need to teach him some feminism.
I know. But I think I've done it myself. I am soft with him, and there's the amount of times he's done stuff which is really bad and I should be saying no to, but I couldn't help but laugh.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah. So I'm laughing. Like I just picked him up the other day and he's been giddy and he smacked me across the face. But it was really like comedic. You know, it was funny. Like, you know, if someone was watching, they would have like gone, oh, and laughed because it was funny.
Right.
But then obviously he carries on and I've ruined
then
it then.
It funny. So you've made a brush rod. For your own back. A
rod. A rod. You've made a brush for your own back. I've made a rod for my own back. Yeah, I think there have been too many situations where I've laughed where I really shouldn't have laughed. Don't know how I'll rectify it.
Uh-huh.
But hey ho.
Gonna have to stop laughing.
Mm. What have you been doing?
Is that all you've done?
There's probably stuff, you know, I forget my stuff, don't I? Oh, I shot my friend's secret wedding.
Oh, yeah. How was it a secret?
So they got engaged, yeah. Which everyone knew, and they were going to get married next year in July. Like, they'd also, like, I was going to be at the wedding. They'd, like, inquired with Lauren, my right. best friend who's a photographer, like, they were going to do it. And then they just decided, like, I think it was getting bigger than them. Mm. And were getting that vibe, like you and Mike probably yeah. would. And they just thought, fuck it. We'll do a secret. And they just did, like, you know, a registry office and, like, things after, like, their parent didn't know, you know, that type
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
And so I was sworn to secrecy, which I managed. I'm quite good, like, you know, yeah. at not telling other people's shit, really.
Yeah.
And, like, I it's good with Rick as well, because Rick doesn't care, because I thought, oh, Rick might know, and he might slip, mm-hmm. like, you know, just because he doesn't think about stuff like that, because he heard me on the phone. Boy, he don't fucking listen to me on the phone. Oh, he doesn't give a fuck.
Men don't listen at all.
No, Shwan was like, did Rick hear us on the phone? I was like, listen, he might have done, but if he did, it's in one ear, out the other. Yeah. Like, honestly, you're safe. You're safe, you know, because we all have mutual yeah. friends. But yeah, it was really nice.
Aww.
It was really gorgeous. So we took photos around town.
That's cute.
And I had oysters and champagne.
You had oysters?
Yeah, I'm a fancy bitch.
Oh, are you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, but I'm also a little scruff. No, like, I could eat a shitty hot dog and yeah. love it, but I love, like, you know, high-end stuff as well.
Mm. You like caviar?
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't get behind caviar.
Yeah. Like, I'm very, yeah. It's weird, really, because I can, like...
Mature palate.
Yeah. No, I just like everything, actually. Mm. I think that's what it is.
You just like things.
I just like anything and everything. Yeah. But, yeah, I do like oysters. I really do.
I like oysters, like, with but the vinegar, they've got to be from a good place.
Yeah. This was at Tentib Lane. Do you know there in town?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. But yeah, obviously they have to be from a good, because you can fuck yourself with a bad oyster.
Yeah.
That'd be me. I'd order oysters at, like, supermarket.
Especially at the minute, do not get any oysters.
Why? Oh, yeah. Just because I'm just fucked.
You're just on a roll, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what else is coming for me. I'm worried.
Let's be positive.
I can't. Things are telling me nothing positive is happening. That's how it feels. I know I'm being down, aren't I? This isn't me, really. I feel I feel low, actually.
Right.
But not in a, like, worry about me. Yeah. I'm just fucking pissed off and low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay.
You can feel like that.
Okay. Where is your positively sprightly?
It's either one or the other.
I know. Fuck's sake, give me some of your tablets.
Hand you out some research, really.
Yes, please. Yeah, let's talk about you before we go on to morbid shit about me.
I actually, I don't know why I suggested a catch-up, because I don't really know what I've been doing. I've been doing a lot. Like, I've just been, like, seeing a lot of people.
I can't believe how disconnected I feel from you right now.
Yeah, but maybe it's because I'm also not posting, like, loads on Instagram.
But that's a bad sign.
Why?
Because I don't need to rely on Instagram. I shouldn't rely on Instagram to know your whereabouts and what you're up to.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm not doing anything that's, like, crazy that I'd be like, oh, need to tell Charlie about this.
Yeah. I'm in like a bit of a bad friend era. Like, even like Nisha's messaging me, like, are you okay? Like, what are you up to? And like, she's got stuff going, like, mm-hmm. her little boy just started nursery, just like things. Yeah. And I'm like not messaging people, asking people how they are.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm at my limit.
Yeah.
I feel like
fine,
I'm not
though.
Being like very how I would like to be currently.
Yeah, but sometimes in life. There's, like, the give and the take.
Yeah, I'm taking a lot at the minute.
And that's okay, because there's other times when you give a lot.
Yeah.
So, don't beat yourself up about it.
Okay. So, bit of a shite topic, but a very, very common one.
Yeah,
we're talking
a really
about today.
Important one.
Yeah, it is important, because I think there's only a handful of friends I have that haven't experienced miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when I say handful, less than that, like a few, like I'd say like three or something.
Mm.
What is it? One in four.
Yeah, one in four.
One in four. And I think that's like one in four women. But mm-hmm. I think like one in eight pregnancies that's the stat as well, I think I saw.
Right.
So it's just, yeah, it's really, really common. And people just have, like, multiple ones. And, like, everyone's, like, stories are different, but they'll have, like, successful pregnancies, then ones in between. Like, I think, like, the fact that there's no rhyme nor reason to it is just really hard for people, yeah. From what I've seen some people messaging. So, yeah, I just wanted to, like, share my experience because I thought it was a bit mad. You thought, everyone I know thought it was a bit mad, but yeah. Apparently it's common.
Yeah.
Because we looked at it, didn't mm-hmm. we? We looked at the stats for it. So what I had was called blighted ovum. But, like, all my friends just couldn't believe it.
They were
like,
it was actually what? Wild.
Yeah. So I'll kind of take you through what happened. So we had... did my test, got pregnant, like, very... I just missed my period by a few days. I could just tell I was not coming on. I was like to Rick, I'm going to get a test. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I am. Like, I'm not coming on. He's like, you're just going to... You'll come on tonight or, you know, blah, blah, blah. He was like that. And I was like, no. So I did one. I didn't do the test the day I got it. I just thought, you know, give it... He put doubt in my mind. I was like, I'll just wait another day, but no. Pregnant. And I was like, what the fuck, because we were trying not to get pregnant but also happy. So yeah, mm-hmm. That was a bit of a shock. Told you, didn't I? We recorded a whole episode on it, which obviously we're not going to share because it's not fucking relevant now. But I know. So the first thing we did was booking for the 6-week reassurance scan, because we did that with Richie. Mm-hmm. And we went and there was no heartbeat, which isn't... That's not like a setting. That's okay.
Yeah, it's not like a real,
it's
real
not okay.
problem at that point.
No, it's okay to not detect a heartbeat at that point. But they said, come back, rebook, come back for your 7-week one. Mm-hmm. So we did a week later and she confirmed no heartbeat, but like no fetal pole, which means no embryo, no baby. So... that's the day that we were like very, very upset about it. Did a lot of research and kind of came to the conclusion after reading, I think, that it was like there's a 2% chance that the embryo will develop from that 7 week, like very, very minimal. So we kind of processed it then. But what they did was they said, you need to go to the early pregnancy unit. We started afresh from there. So basically, they said they disregard the private scans because they could, like, it means nothing to them, essentially. So I'm 7 weeks by that point. I go for the scan and they're like, look, like, you've got, like, the sacs the right amount, blah, blah, blah. Like, things are growing. I was really symptomatic. And they're like, you have to have a scan in 7 to 10 days. Like, that's just protocol. Mm-hmm. And we were like, but it's not, why? I was expecting for them at that point to offer me the, like, you know, what's it called? What do they call it? Management, they call it. No, right, management. Okay. Yeah, like, you know, that's like the word for it. So I was like, am I going to have the meds or the surgery? And they're like, whoa, like, we don't know what's happening here. And I'm like, I think we do. He had to go get back up. This guy, this junior doctor he did, he brought this other woman in that was like, you know, being a bit more, I don't know, I think he was just a bit soft and I don't think he really knew how to handle us. I think most people are kind of a bit upset, whereas the day before we just kind of processed it and we were like, look, what is going to happen?
Yeah.
And they were like, you just need to come back in a week and then we'll see. I'm like, right, fine. Anyway, go back in a week. And there was a little dot in the sack. So they're like, we can't do anything. And I was like, could this dot be the embryo forming? And they're like, well, we don't know. And I'm like, right. Can this be a baby? Like, can this dot be a baby? And they're like, we just don't know. And I'm like, oh,
surely
fuck
they
off.
Do though. By like 8 weeks pregnant, you know what something should look like.
I think so, but I think their hands are tied with it's all to do with the guidelines with like the measurements. So this right. dot was 2 millimeters. They can't confirm whether it was viable or not, I think, until it was 7 millimeters.
Right.
It's all like things like that, like they just can't, because yeah. they're like, if we do anything right now, it's a termination.
Okay.
We don't do terminations. We have. Yeah. We need more proof that this pregnancy is not developing, because my sac was growing. Everything was growing. I was even getting a little bump, like things
yeah,
were happening.
You were getting symptoms, yeah. You was being sick.
Yeah, I was quite sick actually. So yeah, so then it was basically, I had 4 scans over a period of roughly 4 weeks, and each time I'd go back, there was something a little bit weird, like a bit of an anomaly where they're like, oh, mm-hmm. we can't confirm it because this has happened.
Yeah.
But it ended up that I went away because they told me, look, like you're not in danger or whatever. Just make sure there's a hospital nearby in case you need it. And I think I did start to slowly miscarry when I was away because mm-hmm. I started spotting. And then when I came home, my last appointment, they did confirm. They said, look, you've got bleeding in the sac, and the sac, your sac stopped growing now. And I did stop with my symptoms as yeah. well. Like that did coincide. I actually really liked the doctor that like I was talking to at that mm-hmm. point, because I'd seen a few different people. She was really fab actually. And she went through all our options, and I'd heard so many bad things about the tablets from everybody, you know, the meds, whatever it is, you know, that bring it on. And I was just like, oh, I was like, I don't know. Apparently it's the same as if it happens naturally. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, I don't know why I was so against that. I think that's because now it did happen naturally. Do you know what I mean?
But I also think, like, maybe because you've obviously given birth. Mm. Do you know they say, you know, if you're induced, for example,
it's more painful.
Yeah, like if you're induced, that's brought on.
It's
and really like that's what you're going
hormones.
Through when you go into labour.
Yeah.
But one is brought on, the other is your body is ready to do that thing. And I think, like, I don't know. That's just my thought now. Like maybe there was something like that at the back of your head because you've already given birth and like you know.
You're right, really. I think so. So either way, though, I actually chose the surgery. Mm-hmm. I just thought it just felt like it fit in better for like what I wanted. Like, I know I'm like a big bleeder, and I was like, I just imagined it being like really quite horrific. And with the surgery, you're pretty much in and done.
Yeah.
You obviously can have some bleeding and stuff like that, but I just thought, do you know what? And like, you know, even with Richie, like, mm-hmm. you're going under general anaesthetic, but it sounded like it was more of a clean cut thing.
Yeah. And I've heard so many stories, very recent stories as well, from people who have been given the pill.
And still had to have surgery.
Yeah, and then they've had to go in.
Me too.
For the surgery. So you just kind of think, you might as well just chop it all out and go for the surgery.
Yeah, that was another factor as well, because not just me, because you had told me, but a friend at Rick's work, they'd just gone through it too and had to have the surgery because the meds didn't work. Mm. I chose that. But my mum was on holiday. I was poorly as well. I feel like I was poorly then. I'm fucking poorly now. I'm just like bad times. And I thought, right, I'm going to give it. So this was like a Wednesday. We said, let's give it like a week. But I was going to book in for the surgery on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
And because my mum was going to be home, she was coming home on the Monday.
Yeah.
And I only went and naturally miscarried that weekend.
Yeah, it was on the Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it started.
Episode.
Yeah, so I started, but I'd been spotting for a while, but it just been really prolonged. And they had told me, look, there's bleeding in the sac, so I think that's what mm-hmm. the spotting was.
Yeah.
But nothing was really progressing.
Yeah.
And then on that Friday, I started bleeding. And it was a bit worse overnight. But do you remember, I messaged you in the morning. I was like, I think the worst is over.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, it's not a laughing matter.
No, it isn't a laughing matter, but it is. You just got to laugh. You just have to laugh because it was just fucking awful. So that Saturday, I think it was like the afternoon. I still was like bleeding, But I thought the main chunk of it had been done, especially because I think I always had in my head, look, there's no embryo. I'm not passing a baby here.
Yeah.
So it was just like a very, very heavy period mm-hmm. overnight. And I had a bit of pain, but nothing like I couldn't deal with. I didn't even take paracetamol, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday afternoon, oh my God, that's when the show really started. Yeah.
That's when it happened.
Yeah, it was really, really quiet. Just what everyone says. And I think what people that have experienced a miscarriage at that stage, mm-hmm. I was like, you know, on my hands and knees having like little contractions. And I had an hour where I didn't know whether to, I needed to get an ambulance. And Rick was literally looking at me like, are you all right? He had to look after Richie. Richie had gone and fucking got hand, foot and mouth.
Oh, God.
So Rick couldn't be with me.
Yeah.
And I got dead upset the next day, didn't I? Because I felt like I didn't have proper support from him. But, and I didn't. But essentially, he was keeping Richie away from me. And not that, I mean,
it just wasn't a great situation, no.
And my mum was on holiday. And it was really, really tough. And I was in, I just remember being in so much pain, but a bit was stuck. And for this hour, but it felt, that's what it felt like. I remember saying to Rick, like, I think it's stuck. And he was like, what do I do? And then I remember, like, when I got to the toilet, and obviously I passed, like, can we talk, this is a miscarriage episode, can we talk about this?
Yeah, of course.
I just, like, passed, like, a big, hard chunk of stuff. God knows what that was. And I've said this, I cannot believe that people go through this. And because I was nearly 12 weeks when mm-hmm. this happened, I would have passed something that resembled a little baby. Yeah. I'm so sorry if that's hard to like hit, like, but that's what people go through.
Yeah. So, well, one of my friends, well, she's more of a friend of a friend. I think they give her the pills at maybe 12 weeks or 13 weeks.
Yeah.
And so she had to do it in hospital, and she had to do it into a bucket.
Yeah, because it's you know, it's a decent to come out of you.
And they need to see, like, when you get to that stage, they need to see it's all come out, basically. And it must be harrowing, like, awful.
Yeah, because even what I passed was, like, pretty bad, as in, it didn't resemble anything, but like what it was, it's what it was. It was big and hard, and I'm just like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Anyway, my pain really stopped after that bit passed. It. I think it was just stuck for too long, and I couldn't. Maybe I wasn't dilated enough. I'm not sure, but it just couldn't get through. Because what I ended up doing was, I felt like I wanted to push. Right. So I went and sat on the toilet, which I spent most of the day on the toilet anyway. But at this point, I was in so much pain. I wanted to be on my hands and knees. So I was on my hands and knees in the bedroom. And I was like, I need to go and push it out. Rick was like, okay. So like, I went and I did, and I really pushed. And like, that's when that came out. And that's when I thought, oh, okay, right, the worst is over now. Yeah. No, it still wasn't.
Nope.
No, so until Tuesday, and it's so weird because it happened every evening, I would get really excruciating pains and I'd pass another bigger bit.
Right.
And I did that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday evening.
Wild.
How weird is that?
That is really weird.
Yeah, that it was like a similar time.
Yeah.
But like I googled it, ChatGPT, everything, they did say with a natural one it is very normal for it to do that, and over a few days, like, you know, it doesn't just all happen at once. So I wasn't worried. I never ended up, like, you know, ringing the hospital or anything like that. But yeah, it definitely was horrendous to think one in four of us go through that.
I know. And I think one of the questions and like things that quite a lot of people have written in is just how like blasé a lot of people are about it, especially like the medical health professionals. Just kind of like, oh yeah, it's like a miscarriage. You just it's common.
Yeah,
just like, need just to kind deal, of go
you just
through
need to
it.
Ride it out.
Yeah,
it is very
and
like
you,
that.
You do just think. If in any other situation a woman was in that much pain, or like anyone was in that much pain, you would never just be like told to just be at home.
No.
Like just be at home and like deal with it, take paracetamol or whatever.
But because of how common it is, they're just like, they don't have, they make you feel like they don't have the capacity to deal with it. Like, look, this happens daily. Go deal with it.
Yeah.
I felt like I had quite good care every time I went into the hospital because I'd be there for like hours. But I did say there was the call I made to let them know I wouldn't be having the surgery because I had naturally miscarried. I was like, so do I need to come in? Like, do I need a scan to check it's all gone? Because I'm sure I was made to believe I would need a scan to check it had all gone.
Yeah.
And there wasn't anything retained. And she went, no, do a pregnancy test in 3 weeks. And it was just like that. And I was okay emotionally.
Yeah.
I really was. Like I said, I really did process it all back when we first realised that those 7 weeks. So I did really struggle the day after, though. That's something to note. Like
the
I
day
must
after
have had
the miscarriage.
Yeah, when the main bit happened. So so I feel like the majority happened on the Saturday. There was still bits, but it felt like, you know, that was the day. It was happening like all day.
Yeah.
And the Sunday, oh my God, I sobbed. Mm-hmm. That must have been hormones at play there.
Yeah, it'd be hormones, but also, like, I do really believe, have you ever read the book, The Body Keeps the Score?
No.
But it's just about how, like, emotions get kind of, like, trapped and stuff. And
I think my release?
Yeah, I think things like that can be a big emotional release.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe, like, even if it wasn't necessarily to do with the miscarriage, but just, like, just other things, like, balled up, you're just, like, letting it all go.
Yeah, well, I had a big release. I just sobbed most of the day.
Mm.
I couldn't stop.
No.
I remember, like, looking at Rick and I was sobbing and I was having go, and I was, like, you know, even shouting, complaining at him and stuff, like, I didn't feel like he was there for me enough and I was just sobbing. But it did feel very hormonal, you know, when
a bit like irrational.
Yeah, I felt a bit irrational, but that's how I felt.
Yeah,
even though I feel like I knew how, like, I wasn't being myself.
Yeah.
I couldn't control it.
Mm-hmm. No, I know what you mean.
So yeah, that must have been, yeah, that was a tough day. I think that was actually almost worse than the Saturday, the Sunday, when I was like really emotional.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, some people, like our situation, like I will say, like obviously we were really happy, but it was unplanned. And I don't know about anyone else, but I'm very much like, I try and just see the positives or the benefits. I'm like, look, for me, and I know we'll talk about this, but like these are things you probably shouldn't say to anybody, but like I was like, it wasn't meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can say it to yourself, can't
you?
But I was like, in my head, I'm like, it wasn't meant to be. We did want a bigger age. Whatever it was, it wasn't right for us at this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it clearly wasn't, I don't know, the sperm and the egg were clearly dodgy. I was just being very like, you know,
pragmatic.
Like that. But yeah. And I don't know if that's to cope. I don't really know, but that's just how I felt. And I didn't feel very emotional about it. But I also don't know if that's because I knew there wasn't a baby.
Yeah.
I don't know if that helped me. But I just thought when I rang after going through all that and thinking if someone was actually like, this was their, like,
they've been trying for years.
Yeah, just like the circumstances around. Yeah. Like, we don't know people's circumstances.
Yeah.
She had no idea on the phone. I literally just said, I've naturally miscarried, need to cancel my surgery. And like, right, do a pregnancy test in 3 weeks. Like, someone could just be like, that could, I don't know, set you off again.
Yeah.
I just think like, oh, that's awful. You have to do a pregnancy test again in 3 weeks when you know it, or like the hope is that it says not pregnant.
Yeah.
When you've been hoping for however long that it is the positive. Oh yeah, I just thought that was, I didn't think that was good.
Mm-hmm. And I think the sad thing is, like, you only got that at the end of your experience. But I think a lot of people experience that kind of throughout the miscarriage phase, or, you know, being told they're gonna miscarry.
Yeah.
What was I just gonna say? So that was like 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. No,
but like
longer now.
Was it about 4 weeks ago?
I think 5 weeks is Saturday.
So that was like 5 weeks ago then. But like now, so you've just started, bleeding.
Yeah,
again.
Sorry. So you're right. So I had the miscarriage and I bled for about a week, and then it did stop. And I was like, okay, I expected, like, I'm a bleeder, and, mm-hmm. and I did bleed a lot, but I thought, okay, 7 days, like, that's manageable. That's just like a period, as in the length of time, because I thought, you know, I hear of people that, like, just bleed for 6 weeks straight, yeah. and, like, you know, or, like, don't get the periods back, and it's all over the show, and it just really fucks with you. And then exactly 3 weeks to the day of me miscarrying, I started bleeding again, but just in a kind of light way where I think, right, I'm coming on my period.
Yeah.
But now it's been 11 days, and I'm, like, passing, like, you know...
Heavy.
I'm heavy, heavy, yeah. Mm-hmm. So... I don't think, either it was a period, but it knows it's not finished because there's more stuff. Like, I don't know what's going on with my hormones, but there's clearly something going on because I'm very heavy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm leaking through to my bed, like that type of mm-hmm. thing. And you're not meant to put anything in you. But I can't not. I can't not. I'm putting my moon cup in, but then I feel it because... the amount of stuff that's coming, and after I'm leaking through that, and that, yeah.
I think, well, we said before the episode, didn't we? If that carries on for like another few days, you probably need to get back in touch with them,
yeah,
just to be safe,
yeah. But it doesn't feel, yeah. it doesn't feel bad, as in, I don't have those. Like, I don't have a red flag.
Yeah,
I don't think, like, something's not right. I feel like it's part and parcel. Like, I almost felt like I got off lucky just with the 7 days
right,
bleeding.
Okay. Do you know,
I think that's how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Well, we'll just monitor it.
Yeah, okay. Nick's like, you need to ring the hospital. I'm like, no.
I'm sending you to hospital here for this and for your mumps.
Oh, no. Is my neck bigger?
No, I don't think it's got any bigger since we started.
Oh, fucking hell. I can feel it.
I can see it.
You can see it. It's so swollen. Like, if I touch here, like, it feels so swollen.
Yeah, it just look like...
Uh-oh. If you see the video clips of this on Insta of this, like, I know I'm a double chin girly anyway, but fucking give me some grace. I've had a miscarriage and now I've got mumps.
Right, should we get onto some questions?
Yeah.
So I ask people for questions and or like advice, mm-hmm. and I'm guessing the advice is probably coming from people who have experienced miscarriage.
Yeah.
But I think one question that's been asked in multiple different ways is how best to help friends that are going through one. My friend had two and none of us knew how to help. We let her lead, but that didn't always feel helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think, I feel like for starters, if you know your friend's going through it, you're probably really close to them, because especially if it's in those first 12 weeks, many people won't even tell good mm-hmm. friends. We're fucking oversharers. Oversharers.
We're oversharers.
We're oversharers. So count us out of that one, because I told you at like 4 weeks. But mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, I feel like really... people must know or be able to like gauge the situation and know what's right or wrong to say to that specific person, mm-hmm. but it can't be, there's no like little textbook of things you can and can't say, because everyone's miscarriage situation is so different.
Yeah I think common things that people do tend to want to say or do say is mm-hmm. very much like the it wasn't meant to be, or yeah. at least you know you can get pregnant.
That's a big one. At least you know you can get pregnant.
Yeah.
And people are like, I don't want to get pregnant. I want a baby.
Yeah. Or like, I want to be pregnant yeah. and keep this pregnancy. Yeah.
Whereas, and I know that, but for example, my situation, having yeah. that little miscarriage before I had Richie, I felt like that. Mm-hmm. I was buzzing to know, no, this is positive. I honestly felt like, no, I know I can get pregnant. Yeah. There's no issues with us getting pregnant. I didn't know if there'd be issues then, you know, holding on to it, but it just felt like confirmation that we can get pregnant.
Yeah, but you felt like that. But if, like, the day you told me about it, I turned around and was like, well, at least you know you can get pregnant.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I don't think you would. So this is what I'm saying. I feel like people know really what what they should and shouldn't say. You should have that type of like compass inside that like, no, that's not quite right to say. But if you said that to me when I'm having a chat with you, like this person said, we let them take the lead, but it wasn't always the way. Like if I'm saying to you, like insinuating that, I feel like you can like go with me and be like, yeah, you're right. This is positive. You can get pregnant. Yeah. So,
but just don't say it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, don't be trying to look on like the brighter side of things. If the person who's experiencing the miscarriage isn't looking at the brighter side of things.
Exactly.
I think that's probably like the best rule of thumb.
Yeah. Like someone said to me, like, look, like it's nature's way, like it wasn't meant to be. But I believed that. So that what didn't offend me, but say, like, you know, like I said, this was unplanned. Like I did feel like, oh, maybe, you know, because my situation was very, very weird. I couldn't believe we got pregnant, with especially how far, like we had sex and not like, it was like over a week before my ovulation or something. It just didn't add up.
Right.
So I do feel like it wasn't right.
Yeah.
I do feel like it didn't even form an embryo. So my situation is so different than the person that's been trying for 3 years and hasn't had a successful pregnancy. You can't fucking go, it wasn't meant to be.
No.
And they're like, why?
Yeah.
Why is it, you know?
Yeah,
so,
or like, don't tell them, it'll happen.
Yeah, because I feel like there is a few phrases that people just go to like that, like, it's going to happen for you or what, like... But they
what's
might
meant
not
to be. Will be right timing.
Yeah,
trust the timing,
and you can trust the timing when it happens.
Yeah,
but how do you trust the timing when it's not happening?
Yeah, so not
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, because they are the kind of things people just go to. But I think just don't go to anything. Just assess the situation.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I know Tally, she came on the podcast. She did mention her miscarriage.
Yeah.
So she said a sister called her like every day for 3 months.
Yeah.
And maybe you gauge the person, maybe your friend wouldn't want you to call her every day for 3 months. But I do think, and we might have spoken about this in like the grief episode, can't remember now because it was a while ago, but I think when it comes to something like miscarriage, like loss, grief, like a loss in any way, like a lot of people will show that initial like empathy and then just kind of expect you to be all right about it. And I think as a good friend, I think it's nice to check in at least for, you know, a good few weeks, just being like, hey, how are you? Just checking in. You don't necessarily need to say, how are you feeling about the miscarriage? But just like opening up that space so your mate knows you're thinking about them.
Yeah. Like you don't have to say anything about the situation.
No.
Just being there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel they will know you're making the effort. They will feel the presence.
Yeah. And then I think another one would be, like guessing that this person is trying for a baby, she's experienced 2 miscarriages. Don't be like asking her every month, like, has it happened? Or, you know, how's it going?
Yeah.
Just, I think that's where you definitely want to let them take the lead in terms of how much they want to share. But yeah, for the miscarriage, like, just have your brain.
Yeah.
Switch on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it.
So I think like a question that I definitely had in through DMs, but I can't find it, was about when you have a miscarriage and then you have a successful pregnancy after it, like how to not just spend that whole pregnancy in fear.
Like for me, because that did happen to me, I know this won't apply to many people, but like I said, I felt really positive even though I had that first miscarriage. So throughout my pregnancy with Richie, I was just very much like, I was very aware I could miscarry. I know like it's common, but I was just having faith and just believe, like just trusting what was happening. But I know that's because I had like the... not the luxury, but like I felt like very much like just trusting things.
Yeah.
But I know that's because I hadn't had a rocky journey really, that I could even think in that way. So for someone that's had maybe like multiple, I don't even know like how, whether it's good to like protect yourself and like remind yourself in case it does happen, or whether it's best to kind of just like go full on positive. Like, I think everyone's just so different.
Yeah.
I feel like you were protecting yourself at the start, even though you hadn't had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
You were just very like, I know I could miscarry. You knew, like, you know, you had friends around you that it was happening to. But some people don't do that. Some people don't think about it.
Yeah, yeah. They just kind of...
I'm having this baby, yeah.
Which is nice, really.
Which is, yeah, it is nice.
I think I would just say, like, you need to give yourself grace. And if you are in that situation, just let yourself be in that situation. Yeah. Like, if you can find that deep happiness and excitement and like positivity throughout your pregnancy,
like you're just getting through your pregnancy,
that is absolutely fine. Yeah. Like, you know, from like my pregnancy, I've seen that pregnancy can be shite, and that's okay.
Yeah, if you're being like a negative Nelly and hating life and being pregnant, like, it's okay, just carry on, whatever makes you feel
like you can keep going. Because I do think like the only thing worse than feeling shit is punishing yourself for feeling shit.
Yeah.
And so if you know, maybe you'll have days where you have like a little glimmer of excitement and like hold on to those little moments, but if the next day you wake up and you've got that fear and that worry and whatever again, then allow it. Just let yourself feel it.
Like, if you don't want to go down the minefield of shopping for baby stuff because it's too overwhelming and feels quite like, but what if I don't end up with a baby? Don't do it. Mm-hmm. Amazon Prime exists.
Yeah.
A baby needs you. It's a bit of milk. Like, they need fuck all.
Yeah, some nappies.
They need some. They don't even need a fucking nappy. No, but like, you know, they really, like, there is an actual like kind of quote, and it's just like they need love and to be fed. Whatever it is, it's really lovely. But it just really makes you realise, no, you don't need 10 different contraptions to put the baby in. Like, okay, no, there is one thing you need a car seat. You can't legally leave the hospital without a car seat. Did you know that that's why everyone has that photo of them carrying out the baby in the car seat
to prove to the enforcements that
you have to bring the car seat into the hospital,
right?
Because they will not let you leave.
Really? I didn't know that.
You cannot leave.
Right, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, they said that to me. I hope I'm right there. Like, right. Yeah, like you had to, that's why they bring it in and you put your baby. Because what if some people are getting bus? What if some people don't have a car, actually? But they must have to prove that.
Yeah.
Because I've not been in that situation. But yeah, they were saying to me, you have to bring the car seat in.
Right, okay. So anyway, you need a car seat and you need like one basic outfit.
Yeah.
Nappies and your tits.
If you're not breastfeeding, like a bottle.
Yeah. And it, yeah, so if you don't want to be like buying all this stuff because it doesn't feel right until the baby's here, you don't need to.
Amazon Prime, and if you've got a bit of a support system, even not even just like your other half, Tesco's sometimes open 24 hours. I fucking get him to Tesco because you need some more wipes. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really don't put the pressure on yourself to have everything. They don't need a nursery.
No.
They're with you. If you can't face making up a room, making a nursery for this child because you just can't stop thinking, am I going to end up with a child or not? Don't.
Yeah.
Richie still doesn't have one.
Yeah. You don't have to have a baby shower. You don't have to do all them.
No.
Like photo shoots, whatever. But I think you want to make sure you are telling people how you feel. Like, you don't need to put a brave face on for everyone.
No.
I think that's probably what we would say about that. Right. Well, I think that's... We had so many questions, but a lot of them were the same question asked in different ways. I really hope that by Charlie sharing her experience like so openly and just talking through some of these questions, that this episode has helped somebody. Like, we know that miscarriage can be such a would you call it taboo topic?
A little bit, because I've even felt a little bit weird seeing some of the more gory stuff now, but this is what happens to us.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's definitely a topic that people don't want to talk about. I also know people who have felt quite shameful for having a miscarriage, like blaming themselves, blaming their bodies, and which must be really hard to go through.
Yeah,
like that's that sort of thought process. But yeah, we just wanted to open up the conversation. Like, our DMs are always open, so if you've listened to this and you relate to it, maybe we'd be the first people you would share the fact that you've had a miscarriage with. Like, we're completely open to hearing your experience. We will pop some resources in the
show notes
for anyone who's maybe going through it. I think there's a few charities and and bits like that to help women through a miscarriage, because we do we know, and we did mention it in the episode, that people, it's not always taken so seriously, even though it can cause like a lot of distress and upset for people. I am sending you all lots of love. Anyone who resonates with the episode, we hear you. We see you. Sending you lots of love.
Yeah. And see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.